Our Old Testament reading for this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. It's found on page 1155. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you, to the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. The epistle reading for this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, found on page 1820. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to me men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise of Jesus Christ. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, for which ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And our gospel reading for this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and that is found on page 1497. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Christ was to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, As soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Today, let us consider our gospel reading. We encounter the remarkable journey of the Magi. What is the quest? Our text opens with the arrival of wise men from the east. The Magi were not Jewish, they were foreigners. This is a reminder that God's grace extends to all people from all places. The journey of the Magi was inspired by a star, a sign in the sky that caught their attention, a celestial sign that stirred their hearts to go and to seek. In our lives, too, there exists a yearning, a deep-seated desire for truth, for meaning, and for purpose. Like the Magi, we find ourselves navigating the vast expanse of our lives, driven by a deep-seated desire for truth, meaning, and purpose. We can view the Magi's journey as a metaphor for our spiritual quest. Like them, we navigate the vast expanse of our lives, seeking something more profound than what the world presents. We seek for something more meaningful than that which is first presented. The search for Jesus transcends cultural boundaries, and it is a quest that unites us all. The Magi's journey is not confined by cultural boundaries, nor restricted to lines on a map. Neither is ours. Our spiritual seeking, through philosophy, science, contemplation, or religious exploration, is a reflection of the quest for the ultimate truth. So how do we and others respond to this revelation? The Magi's quest did not occur without consequences. Their inquiries about this newborn king stirred fear in the heart of King Herod and of all Jerusalem. Their seeking disturbed the king. Herod's fear was rooted in the potential threat to his earthly kingdom. In contrast, the Magi responded to this king differently, with worship. In our lives too, the responses to God's revelation can mirror either Herod's fear or the Magi's worship. Some may react with apprehension, fearing the changes that encountering Christ might bring. Others, like the Magi, respond with open hearts, with reverence and adoration, ready to bow before this new type of king. Consider the chief priests and scribes, who, armed with their knowledge of their scriptures, directed the Magi to Bethlehem as the prophesied birthplace of the Messiah. However, their knowledge did not lead them to worship. The Magi, guided by both star and the scriptures, responded with reverence and adoration. Today, people still respond to the message of Jesus in diverse ways. Some may feel threatened, clinging to their worldly kingdoms of power, success, or materialism. Some, although they notice, don't make any acknowledgement. Some might not notice at all. Still others, echoing the Magi's example, recognize the significance of Christ and come to worship him. Our challenge is to examine our hearts and discern our response to God's revelation. What then do we bring? The Magi's worship went beyond mere words. They expressed it tangibly. The Magi presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts, each deeply symbolic, reveal layers of truth about Jesus. How can we contemplate the symbolism? Gold, a precious metal associated with royalty and wealth, symbolizes our acknowledgement of Jesus as the King of Kings. The Magi presented gold, recognizing the royal nature of the one they sought. Gold is not just a symbol of earthly kingship, but also a recognition of the divine kingship of Jesus Christ. Gold is a metal that does not tarnish or corrode, and it maintains its brilliance over time. Gold is something that is taken out of the earth and is refined by fire. It is purified. This imagery suggests that true spiritual wealth is found in a deep, tested, and authentic relationship with God. Its purity aligns with the sinless nature of Christ and emphasizes his divine perfection. In our worship, we too are called to recognize Jesus as the sovereign ruler of our lives. Gold is metaphorically associated with heaven's treasures in the Sermon on the Mount, which is recounted later in the book of Matthew. Jesus encourages his followers to store up treasures in heaven rather than on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. This concept emphasizes the enduring and incorruptible nature of heavenly treasures, as gold serves as a representation of those eternal riches. Let us examine what we hold dear and what we are willing to surrender. Our lives are marked by various pursuits and allegiances, and the Magi's gift of gold challenges us to place Jesus at the center of our affections. Frankincense is a fragrant resin taken from trees, used in worship as an offering. Burnt as incense, the smoke rises into the sky. It is seen as smoke, but more keenly sensed by its all-pervasive smell. Frankincense symbolizes the divinity of Jesus. Frankincense can represent the prayers of believers rising to God through the intercession of Jesus, our own high priest. The Magi offered frankincense, recognizing Jesus not only as a king, but as God incarnate. Our worship, too, must go beyond acknowledging Jesus as a moral teacher or a historical figure. It should embrace his divine nature, his presence everywhere, through the mystery of his incarnation. Myrrh, the third gift, is another resin from trees. The presentation of the gift of myrrh brings a sad foreshadowing to the Magi's gifts. Myrrh is bittersweet. It has a bitter, pungent taste, but a sweet, pleasing aroma. It is an antiseptic as well. In the Gospel of Mark, it is noted that wine mixed with myrrh was offered to Jesus on the cross. This element can symbolize the bitterness of sin and the need for repentance, underscoring the transformative power of Christ's sacrifice. Historically, myrrh was used in the ancient world for embalming the dead. The inclusion of myrrh in the Magi's gifts implies an understanding of Jesus' mortal nature and his eventual sacrificial death. This symbolism highlights and emphasizes Jesus' humanity and the redemptive significance of his death for the forgiveness of our sins by his suffering on the cross. The Magi's offering of myrrh challenges us to confront the reality of his sacrifice in our worship. It serves as an acknowledgement of the redemptive purpose of his life. It shows his mortal aspect. His sacrifice is seen as a remedy for the wounds of sin, bringing about cleansing and renewal. Our worship is not merely a celebration of triumph. It involves acknowledging the cost of redemption. The myrrh prompts us to reflect on the sacrificial love of Christ and to respond with gratitude and devotion. The journey and acts of the Magi can reflect upon our own faith pilgrimage. We too are seekers, responding to God's revelations in various ways, and we are called to worship in and through and with our lives. As we navigate the complexities of our lives, let us be mindful of the diverse responses to God's revelation. May our worship be genuine and transformative, characterized by the acknowledgement of Jesus as King, the embrace of his divinity, and a profound awareness of the sacrificial love that led him to the cross. In the spirit of the Magi, let us offer our best to God, our treasures, our hearts, and our lives. May our worship be a fragrant offering, pleasing to the one who is worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. Let the journey of the Magi inspire us to seek Jesus earnestly, respond to his revelation with faith, and worship him, giving our lives over to him. Let us be gratefully aware of the bitterness of Jesus' suffering for us, his diffuse and continued presence surrounding us, and the priceless value of his redemptive sacrifice for us on this Epiphany Sunday. Amen.